Good to see you. Thank you for coming out on such a cold evening. Well, I believe the Lord has something to say to us tonight, and I hope and pray that as you leave, you will be able to do so, saying, well, the Lord has spoken. And in your heart, you've got to make that response. But if you want to follow us in our reading tonight, you will find the reading in 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ, our Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we are alive, we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. May God bless to us the reading from his own precious word. And before we come to look at that tonight, we're going to sing another couple of songs. Good to be with you again this evening. And if you were with us this morning, you heard me say that tonight I wanted to follow on with the same theme that we were on this morning as Paul was speaking in Philippians chapter 3 and giving his testimony. And if you were with us, you will know that Paul finishes that desire, that ambition, that anticipation with the great picture of running a race, that the Christian life really is a race. It's a journey. It's a race that he speaks about in different books that he has written. And by the way, that's what we want to do tonight. We want to pick up that theme and to remind ourselves afresh of this great race. By the way, it's not a 100-yard dash. No. It's what Niall is quite used with. It's a marathon. And a marathon is far from easy. It actually begins the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord and remains with you throughout the rest of the life. And it only ends when the Lord takes you home to glory, and that's the finish of the race. But this race is not over level terrain. It's not an easy race. Indeed, it's a very tough race. And to finish this race, you don't need to have speed. That's not the desired motivation. What you do need for this race is endurance. That's the key that we want to emphasize tonight. The key of endurance. I like the way Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 interprets in the New Living Translation the verse that says, "Let us run with endurance." Some versions has perseverance. But let us run with endurance the race that is God has set before us. And this word endurance, it's rather interesting. I find that the word itself has been used over 70 times in the New Testament by God when he's speaking about the Christian life. Over 70 times. And the reason it's mentioned so often, I believe, is because few people run consistently and therefore do not finish the race the way God intended them to finish. Some get sidetracked. Some leave the actual running track itself. They get sidetracked. They get distracted. It might be because of someone else. They might be tripped up for some reason. But they don't finish the race the way God intended. I want you to look at that tonight with me. As far as my own personal testimony is concerned, I started the race back in Belfast in 1954. When I gave my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ in a big rally in the YMCA in Belfast. And since that, I have two goals. The first goal is a very personal one, and that is, I want to finish well. I want to finish this race that I'm involved in and that you're involved in. I want to finish well. I want to stand before my Savior, and I want to hear him say, "Well done. You've finished the race. You've finished it well. You've finished the course." My second goal is, as a pastor, it is my desire and my hope and my endeavor to help others to finish the race well. Wherever I go, I want to encourage people in the race that they will give themselves totally to that race and to gaining that great prize. I want you to hear the applause of heaven when you eventually get there. And that applause is deafening when you are welcomed home by Jesus, who will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I hope and trust that that becomes one of your goals as you too look at the journey that you're on. You see, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, he said, "I have finished the race and I have remained faithful." And what we want to do tonight, we want to look at 2 Corinthians 4, the chapter that we read together, because I believe in that chapter there are seven secrets that Paul outlines for us in finishing the race well. Tonight we're not going to look at the seven, but we're going to look at four of them. And I hope and trust that you find them helpful. The first one that we read about here is, I refuse to compromise your integrity. Refuse to compromise your integrity. Integrity itself, it simply means that your private life is consistent with your public image. And that's what Paul is talking about here in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You know what Paul's saying there? He's saying, I refuse to fake it. I refuse to just pretend. I refuse to make it a shameful act in my life. Integrity, you see. Integrity is one of the most admired qualities in anyone's life. It's the most precious thing that you could have in your life and live by. I think, as far as public office is concerned or public standing in the world is concerned, I think Billy Graham was a man who showed us what integrity was all about. Because no matter where he was, no matter what country he was in, the same thing was said about him. He was a man who had integrity. He was pure in his heart and in his thinking. Because you see, integrity, as Billy Graham would have done it, it means being truthful at all times, in all situations. Integrity means keeping your word. It means living out practically your beliefs, what you really believe. In other words, it means you can be trusted. Now, I believe all of us here tonight want to have integrity and want to live by and with integrity. But I would say that it is so easy to go astray. It is so easy to take a wrong turning. Indeed, I would go as far as to say that sometimes we dig a hole for ourselves. But it's not digging with a spade. No, it's actually digging with a teaspoon, a little at a time. And I believe that this week, for instance, that we're entering into, there's going to be occasions when some of us will be facing decisions. We're going to be tempted to do something which isn't right. It may be a very small issue, but you know it isn't right. But the payoff to you is maybe going to be great, and you're tempted to do it because you think just this little one thing won't really matter. But you see, integrity says, yes, it does matter. So how do we keep on track with integrity? How do we stay in line with that? Well, three things. One, remember that you're being watched. Now, I don't mean being watched by other people. I mean that we're being watched by God. We were rejoicing this morning when we talked about God looking down on us, that his eye was upon us. That's what the scripture says. And that's a joyful thing to know that he's watching. But we need to remind ourselves of that whenever we're tempted, that the Lord is watching. He sees everything we do. He knows everything that you think, what you dwell upon in your mind. He knows about it. Because he is your Father God. And every time Satan comes along and says to you, no one will ever know if you do this. And if you follow that temptation, then you're going to lose out in integrity. Because God knows. And God sees. And God takes account. He sees everything. Everything you do is important to God. And he wants it to show forth the beauty of Jesus. in our lives. So whether we're on our own or whether with a group of other people, we've got to live and show forth what integrity is, so we remember we're being watched. Secondly, we need to keep focused. Focused because, well, we all remember, don't we? We all know, everybody knows, that you reap whatever you sow. And we have to remember that. And so as you keep integrity in your life, you remember that you will reap what you sow. If you sow corn or wheat or barley, what do you get in the harvest time? Corn or wheat or barley. You reap whatever you sow. If you sow lies, what will you get back? No one will trust you. They won't trust what you say. And if you cheat on others, guess what happens? You will find that you yourself will be cheated also. With integrity, if you are fair and honest, if you are trustworthy in all things, then you will be trusted likewise. That's why integrity is so important. And the third thing is being honest in everything. This is what Paul is saying here. Dishonesty damages your character. And we've got to remember that this life is a test. We're being tested here. God is preparing us for eternity. That's where he really wants us, not here. He wants us in eternity. And your rewards in heaven are very much based upon your character, which you're working out down here on earth. And that's why in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3, it says, "The integrity of the honest keeps them on track." If you want to stay on track, you've got to be focused on integrity. The second thing we have to remember, according to Paul here, is resolve to live with humility. Resolve to live with humility. Proverbs 18 says, "Proud people will be ruined, but the humble will be honored." If you get to go on an ego trip, if you start to focus on your image, then you can be sure that you're going to go off track as far as the race is concerned. The Bible says proud people are heading for ruin. So we've got to do what the Bible says. Resolve to be humble. Now I find that humility is a choice. Not everybody knows that or even thinks that that is true, but it is. Humility is a choice. It's something you choose to do. Some people think humility is something God does for you. You know, you come to God and you pray to God and say, "Lord, make me humble." No, no, no. It's a choice that we make. Humility is not something God does to you. Humility is something you do to yourself and for yourself. Humility is a choice. It's an attitude. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 13, the Lord Jesus said, "Whoever exalts himself will be humble, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." In other words, it's a choice that we make about ourselves. So how do you do that? Well, you just be honest. Be honest about yourself. Be honest about your weaknesses. Be honest about your limitations. Be honest about your imperfections. Oh, I know today it's cool to have an image. We want to have an image that pleases everybody and everybody will accept us. And that's what is the foremost in many young people's minds. But I want to let you in on a wee secret here tonight. Everybody already knows that you're not perfect. So why don't you stop pretending? Why don't you start being honest that you haven't got it all together? Humility is a choice that we make. And by the way, humility is not merely having or trying to have low esteem of yourself. You know, the sort of thing where you're putting yourself down all the time. You're saying, oh, I'm no good, or I'm worthless, or I'm junk. You don't say that. Because, you see, Jesus didn't die for junk. He died, he paid the great price for you and for me when he died on that cross of Calvary. And that shows the value that he puts upon us. We're precious to God. You're not junk. So don't put yourself down. That's not being humble. All of us have a whole stack, a whole bundle of strengths and weaknesses. I've got some strengths, but I tell you, I've got some great weaknesses as well. And so have you. And what we've got to do is be honest about that. You have those strengths and weaknesses, and humility is simply being honest about both. Part of being humble, of course, means that you have to laugh at yourself. You have to look and see what God is saying about you in Scripture, and sometimes it is rather humorous. I don't know if you know, but humor and humility, they come from the same root word in the Greek. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, this is what Paul says. He says, we carry this precious message around in simple clay pots of our ordinary lives. That is to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. In other words, God has made it abundantly clear what humility is all about. Because God puts his glory, he puts his power, he puts his life into you and me, and we are just clay pots. That's all. You know, we're not even China. We're just clay pots. And that's what God does when he saves us. And clay pots can easily fracture. They really can fracture very easily. They can have cracks in them. Indeed, all of us are a wee bit cracked, if I can put it that way. We each one have cracks. And we've got to admit that. We've got to see that. You need to learn to laugh at your own limitations. You need to learn to laugh even at your own weakness. Because it's not about us. It's all about God. That's where the glory goes. That's where the praise goes. That's where the honor goes. Not to us, but to him. He is the Lord. So take God seriously, but don't take yourself too seriously. Because we do make mistakes. You see, in verse 5, it says, our message is not about ourselves. It's about Jesus Christ as Lord. And we are your servants for his sake. It is all about him. The Christian life, church life, it's all about him. It's not about you. It's not about me. This is his church. We are his people. And so we come to acknowledge that. And we do so with humility. So stop worrying about your image. And start worrying about your character. Because it's your character that you're going to take to the glory. It's your character that's going with you to heaven. Character is what we really are. Image is what other people think we are. But our emphasis should be on character. Clothe yourself, says the Scriptures, with humility. And here is the third thing. That we are to renew our spirit daily. If we're going to run this race properly, we need to renew our spirit daily. Because running this race that God has planned for you and for me, it's a daily effort. And sometimes we just go in spouts, and then we slow up, and then we go in spouts again. But what God tells us in Scripture is that if we don't feed our souls, if we don't look at ourselves and help ourselves to be renewed day by day, we're going to get tired in the race. We're going to slow up in the race. We're going to lose out in the race. Paul tells us here in verses 8 to 9, we often suffer, but we're never crushed. Even when we don't know what to do, we never give up. In times of trouble, God is with us. And when we're knocked down, we get up again. You see, in 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul says this, "This is why we are discouraged. Though outwardly we are wearing out, internally we are renewed day by day." So let me remind you what he's saying here. He's saying, outwardly we are wearing out. This old body of ours is wearing out. If you don't believe that, then how do we look around? It's amazing when you meet someone and you haven't seen them for a while. You go and say, I didn't know they looked as old as that. And you start to talk like that. You have to look at yourself and see yourself as you really are. And I don't care how much you nip it or you tuck it or you paint it or you stretch it. Listen, we're wearing out. I know that. I feel that. And you know that too. But listen, that's not the important thing. Though we're wearing out outside, it doesn't make a bit of difference inside, because internally we are being renewed day by day. And that's why Paul says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we need to feed ourselves day by day. How do we do that? Well, obviously, first thing is the Bible. I hope that you have a quiet time every day, that you meet with God, that you set aside a time to look into His Word and to receive the great promises that God has for you. And there are many promises. Did you know there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible? And He gives them there for you and for me, so that in our daily intake, day by day, we might be strengthened, that we might be encouraged. That's why in Psalm 119, we read, "You, God, are my place of quiet retreat. I wait for your word to renew me." Oh, it's lovely, isn't it, day by day, to just spend that little time and let God speak to you from out of His Word as you commit the day to Him and ask Him to use you during that day and to bless you and make you a blessing to others during the day. It's lovely to have that little retreat with God and to meet with Him. So that means that if you're going to hear this, you've got to hear God's Word in 5 different ways. One, you've got simply to hear it, like you're doing just now, in a service, in a sermon, in a message. You listen and you receive God's Word. And then secondly, you hear it by reading it yourself, taking time to open it up during the week, to pick it up and to read it and to be blessed by it. Thirdly, you are to study the Word. In other words, ask questions about the Word. Discuss it with others, whether you have a small group that you want to meet in. And I'm delighted to hear that you've started this new course, this new teaching, this little booklet that Niall spoke about this morning. I'm delighted about that, because that means you're going to be sharing together. You're going to learn from one another from the precious Word of God. So it's hearing it, it's reading it, it's studying it. It's also memorizing it. It's great to memorize Scripture, to get these great verses into your mind and into your heart, so that when you're talking to others, you're able to share with them this beautiful truth. And then fifthly, you get it by meditation. You know what meditation is. It means to dwell upon something, to focus on something, to turn it over in your mind constantly. Meditate and allow the truth to filter through into your heart. And it takes all 5 attitudes like this. It takes all 5 to get a good grip on God's Word and to feed yourself each day of the race. A lot of times we only take one of these things. We come to church. We hear a message preached. And we go out and say, right, I've heard the message. That's it. I'm set up. No, that's not good enough. That's only one way, just hearing it. You see, if you're going to get a good grip on this truth, then you need all five. If I'm going to lift this Bible, then I need all five of my fingers. I can't lift this with one finger. I need all five, and you need all these. You need to hear it and to read it and to study it and to memorize it and to meditate upon it so that it will filter down into your soul and renew you day by day for the race that we're involved in. That's the first thing. The second way to renew it is, of course, sharing it with other people, fellowship with others. Renew yourself spiritually through this being with other people, sharing with them. Relationships with others are most important in the Christian life. That's why in Hebrews 10 we read, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. That's the key to daily renewing, encouraging one another. So important. I can honestly say that in my life, as I look back over it, I've learned so much from other people. I've watched them, I've brushed shoulders with them, and it's such a joy and such a blessing and such a challenge to hear from them, to know their testimony, to know their walk. Because you see, through fellowship, it rubs off onto you, and God helps you in the race as you hear how others are running the race. And it encourages you, and it blesses you. God has designed us this way. He has made us to want to be with other people. We can't do this race on our own. We're running with others. We are the bride of Christ. And if we're going to fulfill all that God wants, then we will indeed grow as we work and as we walk with others at this particular time. And that's why it's a joy for me personally to come here and to share with you, Focused on Honor, because I know that you love God and you love His Word and you want to go further with Him. I encourage you to do so because you encourage me in all that you are doing for the Lord here in Stranraer. And we are to keep focused on eternity. This is the final thing which Paul tells us here. The long-distance runner knows that the real success is mental focus, is keeping focus on what is important. Because you can get tired in the Christian life. Of course you can. You can get a wee bit tired and you can go off color, as it were, in your own testimony with Him. And you need to stay focused on eternity, because that's what we read here in verses 17 and 18. Our present troubles are quite small and won't last for long, yet they will produce for us an immeasurable glory in heaven that will last forever. You see, he's telling us that the problems we have in life are only passing things. What really matters is keep focused on that line that Paul talked about this morning, straining forward towards it, pressing towards that prize that God has for us in the glory. You see, the fourth secret in finishing the race and finishing well is to stay focused. Focused. I was thinking that light, when it's focused through a magnifying glass, can burn grass or paper. And if light is even turned greater focus on it, it can be turned into a laser that can cut through steel itself. The more focused you are in life, the more effective you're going to be in your Christian race and in your Christian life. So what do you focus on? What am I to stay focused on? Well, you're certainly not to focus purely on your career or on your reputation or even on your weaknesses or your successes. Don't focus on your problems. These things are passing by. You learn as you're in them, but these are not to be focused on. You focus on Jesus Christ. You focus on the Savior. You focus on His life. You focus on His words. You focus on His teaching. He is the example. Focus on His plan. That's what Paul was talking about this morning as we were reading Philippians 3. He says, I want to know why God chose me. I want to know why He saved me. I want to know His plan and His purpose for my life. And that's what we are to be focused on. God has a plan for your life. He has given you certain gifts. Are you using those gifts? Because those gifts were given to you so that you might fulfill that plan, so that you might experience that purpose that He has in saving you. And that's why He's calling you to fulfill this race, to finish this race. The second thing is that we have to focus on the blessings and the rewards that lie ahead of us in the glory whenever we get there to heaven. And that's what it's all about. Looking to that wonderful day when we will hear the applause of heaven and when we will meet the Savior face to face and He will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, yes, you have to stay focused. And that's why some people don't finish the race, because they lose focus. They don't know why they're reading the Bible. They don't know why they go to church. You have to stay focused, because true focus and true motivation is not an external thing and it's not an internal thing. It's an eternal thing. It's looking to the future. It's looking to the day when Jesus is either coming back again or He's going to take you home to be with Himself even through death. Either way, you're looking to eternity. And you're keeping that focus on that wonderful occasion when God is going to take you to be with Him. When you will hear that applause of heaven. And that's why Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness which the righteous judge will give me on that day. Isn't that wonderful? But someone might say, well, that was Paul. He can say that. He was a saint. That guy is just so different to me. Oh, no. Let me finish the reading. Because, you see, it doesn't finish there. It says, and not only to me, says Paul, but to all those who wait with love for Him to appear. That means you. That means me. Let's keep our eye on that fact that this life is not forever. One day we're going to be in the glory with Him. You know, Satan, he loves to discourage us. That's a tool that he uses all the time to trip us up. And some of you know that. Maybe you started the Christian race and you started with such gusto and you were giving yourself to the Lord and you wanted the Lord to save you and to use you and to bless you and to make you a blessing. But that was yesterday. How are you today? Have you drifted? Have you been sidelined? Somehow, maybe you've been wounded. Maybe somebody said something to you and hurt you. Do you know something? You've never really, truly got over it. Or maybe you've got distracted by something else. maybe someone said something. I don't know. You get discouraged. Or it may be because you've messed up. And you know you've messed up. And you feel that there's no use going on. Well, I believe God has sent me here today to share with you what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians and what he said here in 2 Corinthians. You're still in the race. And God wants you to finish well. And he wants you to be lifted up by him, by his Spirit. He wants to do a new thing in your life. As we were reading this morning from Isaiah 43, wonderful verses. He says, I want to make a way through the desert. In other words, in a place where you thought there was no way, God wants to make a way. He says, I want to bring streams into the wasteland to water it, to make it fruitful. And God wants to do that in your life, and I believe at the beginning of this new year, he's wanting you to think again about this race that you're in. Are you really straining? Are you really pressing forward? Are you dealing with the temptations in the flesh and putting them down and just turning to the Lord and receiving all that he wants to do for you and to you and through you? Oh, this year could really be a fantastic year for you as you take to that track, as you run like Paul ran, looking to that prize, looking to that finishing line, looking to that beautiful, beautiful welcome that Jesus will give to you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Don't listen to Satan. Don't let him discourage you. May you find afresh this wonderful Savior as he wants to turn you around, set you on the right track, and to use you, not for your glory, for his glory, and to bless you with his peace and his power and his mercy at this particular time.